Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in New Jersey and has been a basketball coach for over 50 years. He's been the head coach at Stony Brook, Villanova, UNLV, and Cleveland State. In 1985, he led the eighth-seeded Villanova Wildcats to the NCAA championship. It's considered the greatest upset in college basketball history. This past season, he started up a basketball program at Northwood University in West Palm Beach. His name, Rolly Massimino, and I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Grasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Coach Rolly Massimino, the legendary college basketball coach. Coach, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's an honor to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Yes. I had two wonderful immigrant parents, one of which came over from Italy at the age of three, and the other came over at the age of 16. And I had three other brothers, two of which I didn't know only because they both were killed at the age of six, 10 years apart, one of which was killed by a gas explosion. And then 10 years later, the next one was killed by an automobile. So my parents went through two tragic situations, and then my other brother came along, and then I came along. So I obviously was the spoiled one of the four, and my mom, again, was just a beautiful lady, and I miss her very, very much.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a shoemaker, and I can remember his fingers were as big as two hands just from pounding the nails. And the one thing that he said to me, I'm the only one that went to school, obviously, because the brother that survived became a shoemaker, then started a shoe store. But my dad always said, you're going to school, and you're going to college, and you're going to be somebody. So, over the years, as I read the book Success, you know, one of the more successful individuals names I can't remember, said the thought of being mediocre scares me. And I never forgot that, you know what I mean? And to have parents like I had, as I said, Mom being a housewife, Dad being a shoemaker, really made me feel that I had to try to be as successful and be the best I could be.
Oh, what were the biggest things you learned from your mom? And, Coach, what was the biggest things you learned from your dad?
Well, the biggest things I learned from my mom is do the right thing and tell the truth and, of course, work as hard as you can. I can remember, you know, back then, little old-time folks had a little pocketbook, and I used to take nickels from my mom. And she knew whether I took a nickel or a penny. You know, you get a bubble gum with a penny back then. And she said, Roland, see, my name is Roland. I know you took a nickel or a penny. Don't you do that anymore. You know what I mean? And and the love that my mom exuded, and that's why. And she also taught me how to cook spaghetti. Okay, that's for sure.
And
al dente too, Jack. Al dente. And my mom was wonderful. You know what I mean? I used to stay up, listen to the radio, and listen to music by Carlo Buto. That was years and years ago. Just she and I, because my dad would go to the society where he could be with his friends. You know what I mean? And play Brischka, you know, play cards and really, really have a good time with his buddies. And my mama would just take care of me because my brother was 10 years older than me also, and would go out. So I learned an awful lot from my mom, and my dad was someone, he taught me the work ethic, you know what I mean? Christmas time, we sold Christmas trees so we could put food on a table, you know what I mean? And he would make my shoes, and the work ethic was so important to my dad, you know what I mean? From morning to night, and then come in, and then teach me how to make wine, of which I finally told him, Pop, you don't have to make all this wine. We go buy some wine that's just as tasty and just as good. He almost ran me out of the house when I told him that. You know what I mean? Some very good stories I recall as a youngster.
And nowadays we go buy a winery, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I told him. You know, it was Roma wine back then for $4 a gallon. $4 a gallon. I'll never forget it. And you know, because sometimes on Palm Sunday, when my dad would make 150 gallons of wine, and sometimes one of the barrels, you know what I mean, would turn vinegar. So all your hard work, all the fermenting of the grapes and everything else, you never knew whether the wine would turn out right. So the work ethic is something that he taught me, and I had to work. That's for sure.
How did you ever get into coaching, and why basketball coaching?
Well, I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to get a small scholarship to University of Vermont, and I was an accounting major, and I wanted to teach and coach, and the only way I could do that and not lose any credits, you know, in my degree process, you know, was to get into business education. And there were 24 girls and myself. And it was kind of interesting. I was the best typist in the class, but the worst person in the class in terms of taking shorthand. And you had to pass. You had to pass 160 words a minute, typing it, you know, and transcribing it onto paper. In a five-minute period without making more than three mistakes. And that was very difficult to do. And thank God I had a wonderful teacher. She was great, and she got me through. And that's why I went when my first job was in Cranford, New Jersey, maybe 6 miles from my home. And I taught shorthand, typing, business education. I taught accounting, so I taught a lot of business courses, you know, my first 4 years at Cranford High School. And then went on to my own high school at Hillside and became the head coach. I was the youngest head baseball coach in the state of New Jersey. I was 21, and I was assistant basketball and assistant baseball. And at that time, I had a mentor besides my mom and dad, named Bill Martin, who just passed away 6 months ago. I miss dearly. He was my mom and pop away from home, and because I still lived at home, but he was my American Express card. Whenever I would go out late, believe it or not, you know, the old Italian people, if my mom said, you're home at 11 o'clock, even though I was 21, I had to be home at 11 o'clock, unless I was at Coach Martin's house. You know what I mean? So he was my American. He was my out. He was my out, Jack. So, you know, I was brought up in a very disciplined house, in a house that, you know, was very family-oriented. And every Sunday I had to go visit my aunts, and I was a piano player. And I had to play the piano a little bit with my cousin, who was the accordion player, and entertain our aunts and uncles, you know what I mean, on a Sunday afternoon. So my life was pretty much regimented, you know what I mean, as I grew into our profession.
So we're talking to Coach Raleigh Massimino. I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're talking to Coach Raleigh Massimino, who's been in coaching for over 50 years. Raleigh, you spent 12 years coaching high school.
Right.
How'd you ever get to college?
Well, what happened was I wanted the Harvard job because I was in Lexington, Massachusetts in high school, as I said. And I was one of the three finalists and didn't get the job. And the two people that didn't receive the job was contacted by Stony Brook University. And they asked us to come down. And my wife said, after all these years, you know, you always wanted to be a college coach. See, back then, college coaches were making less than high school coaches. And I went and got interviewed. I loved the place. And I went from making $19,000 to $14,000. So I lost $5,000 with a broken-down station wagon and five children.
Didn't you tell us that you were an accounting major in college?
Yes. Yes, I was an accounting major and a business education major. But then I went down and I taught athletic sports at Stony Brook. You know, I taught tennis and I taught golf, as a matter of fact, at Stony Brook.
For 14,000, five kids.
For 14,000, five kids. And then 2 years later, we won a lot of games, got into the NCAA tournament. And Chuck Daly, who was a dear friend in Massachusetts, was coaching at Boston College. And I called to congratulate him. And the next thing I know, he called me back and said, meet me in Newark Airport tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So I trucked in that old broken-down station wagon to Newark Airport, and he said, I want you to be my assistant. I said, I've been coaching now 14 years, Chuck, as a head coach. How can I do it? But you know his charm, and his charm was, obviously, I said, well, what are you going to pay me? He said, $13,000. So I said, okay, let's see what happens. And then I accepted. That was the best move I ever made.
Back then, was he that sharp dresser back then?
Yeah, he was, you know, he's always a good-looking man, sharp dresser. And, you know, he'd love to eat pasta because he used to come to my house, you know, after we got together at Penn and take off his shirt and tie, and my mom would cook us 2 pounds of pasta. Now, think about that. Jack, people today make 2 pounds of spaghetti for maybe 10 people. Mr. Daly and I had 2 pounds between the two of us, and we were in good shape then, too. Then he'd throw me the keys and say, drive, to whomever. As a matter of fact, I can recall recruiting Mitch Kupchak, who's now the general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, as a high school student.
Today, you're the head coach at Northwood University in West Palm Beach.
Right.
And one of your assistant coaches is a guy named Chuck Daly.
Well,
what do you pay him?
He's not officially an assistant, but he's been to, you know, almost every game, home game, that is. He's a dear, dear friend. And, you know, my guys are down here. Chuck is here. Billy Cunningham's here. Bobby Orr is here. Bill Raftery's here. I'm not trying to name drop, but we're down in West Palm Beach in Jupiter, and we have a lot of fun together, and they really try to keep up with our team. And I'm very humbled to say that, you know what I mean, that they take the time out, talk to the kids, and it's a great opportunity. And we started this program from scratch.
Yes.
So it's been a good journey, a long journey, but a lot of fun.
Now, after the games, when you take Bobby Orr and Cunningham and Chuck Daly out for dinner, who pays?
Well, I have to pay. Those guys don't go for a nickel. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I'm going out to dinner with Daly tonight, and I told him, keep your hands in your pockets tonight.
All right, 1973, you get a job with Villanova University.
Right.
And then in 1985, magic happens. Can you share with us the 1985 Villanova Wildcat season?
Well, it was magical. Quite frankly, we had lost 9 regular season games. The last game of the year, we played Pitt on national television, CBS, and we were getting beat by 15 at halftime. And I told the players, You have 5 minutes to play in the second half, and if you don't, I said, play like I want you to play, you're all going to sit, whether it means going to the NCAA tournament or not. And we didn't play like I expected them to play, so I sat them all down. And I remember Bill Raftery was the commentator of the game, and he couldn't believe that we substituted five people, including which was one of my sons who was on our team. I played him, and that kept his mother happy. You know what I mean? So he got some playing time, and we got beat, and we had only won 17 games. I didn't know whether or not we had the opportunity. But the next game in Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament was against Pitt, the very same team. And we beat them, and then we lost to St. John's for our 10th loss, and then we went right straight through the six games in the tournament with a great deal of confidence and enthusiasm.
You got to the top of the mountain after all these years. You win the game that night. Raleigh, what did you do for the rest of the night?
We stayed up all night. Of which Chuck, God bless him, called me, or Mike Fratello, who was my assistant. Before that, he wasn't with me in 85, but he was with the pros at that time, and we had a wonderful night. We really did. We celebrated all night, and then had the opportunity to get on some national TV shows. And, you know, it was great for the fans. It was great for the university, for the alumni, you know, and it really made my life very public, quite frankly. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. I thought, you know what I mean? I'm very proud and honored to have the opportunity to say that we coached, you know, and had a lot of fun to win the national championship. But I got to tell you a story, Jack, how it went through. We had played North Carolina twice. We had been in the Final Eight like five times, but we couldn't get to the Final Four because we played Fly Slammer Jammer, the Houston team. We played Dean Smith twice, you know, with Michael Jordan. I mean, we played some great, great teams. And I can remember playing North Carolina, that journey that we had, because we beat the number one seed in Michigan. We played Dayton at Dayton. It's the last time anyone had an NCAA game at their arena. So we beat them, then we played Michigan and beat Michigan. Then we went to the regionals and beat Maryland, who had beaten us during the year with Lenny Bias, God bless his soul. And then we played North Carolina to go to the Final Four. And here's what happens. At halftime, we're down seven. And I go into the locker room, and I am just livid. I don't usually yell during tournament time because I want the kids to be relaxed. And what I said to the players, I said, you know what? If this is so big for all of us, I said, I don't think we should be here. But what I want more than going to the Final Four is a big dish of pasta with clam sauce and a lot of cheese. And they looked at me, Jack, like, who is this jerk? And the priest even came up to me. I never forget this, from Villanova, the dean of students. And he says, Rolly, that was the best halftime speech I ever heard. And we went out and we beat them quite handily, as a matter of fact. You know, and that got us. After the third try, we finally got to the Final Four.
And then you beat Georgetown to win it all.
So. Then we beat Georgetown, who was, you know, John Thompson again. Wonderful coach, dear friend, and Patrick Ewing, which I thought could have been one of the greatest teams ever assembled, arguably, you know what I mean? Yes. And, you know, I knew we could play with them because we had played very well against them the past two times during the season.
When we come back, we'll ask Raleigh, what makes a great coach? I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Raleigh Massimino, who's won over 500 games. Coach, what makes a great coach?
Well, I think, you know, different coaches are successful in different ways. But one is, you know, having the love for each player that you coach. And as far as I'm concerned, I always say that I treat everyone fairly, but everyone differently. You know what I mean? The relationships that you have. You know, I was a yeller and a screamer, and I still, our ritual is that I call at Christmas time over 100 of our players, wishing them a Merry Christmas. And then in turn, on October 15th, when we started practice, they call me. I still talk to someone that played for me in 1956. It's unbelievable. I mean, I get 10 phone calls a week. Now, how does that happen? I think it happens by developing, you know what I mean, a friendship, a love. I mean, every day I tell one or two of my players that I love them. You know what I mean? Because I yell and scream, but there's a different way to do that. Establishing relationships, the loyalty that's involved is so, so important. You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. And knowing the game a little bit. But you know what? You can't be a great coach, Jack, unless you have great players. You know, that's all a myth. I've been so lucky to have great players, wonderful people. And may I add that every single one that I've coached has graduated. That, to me, is more important than winning the national championship. The idea of competing, you know what I mean? You know, I all we talk about is winning. Winning. Winning is an attitude. Even though we lose, that happens. If it happens, it happens. But I want a winning attitude developed within each individual. And that's how you win, because the best part of me is we. We are in this together.
We're talking to Coach Raleigh Massimino. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Coach Raleigh Massimino, who was once Playboy Magazine's Coach of the Year.
In Chicago, as a matter of fact.
Can you tell us one great story about screaming at referees?
Well, you know, everything is perception and reality. And with me, you know what I mean, I'm known to be a screamer. But, you know, I haven't gotten very many technical fouls during the course of my career. I kind of enjoy them. In fact, we even exchanged cigars at times when I was younger. No longer do I smoke. But, you know, the fact remains, I really stole this thing from Jimmy Valvano, who was a dear friend of mine, who once said to me, you know what I mean, Raleigh? He said, this is what you have to tell the officials, and I did this. And one was a friend, because I didn't want to upset someone I didn't know real well. And I said to him, I said, will you give me a technical for what I'm thinking? And he said, no, Raleigh, why would I? Well, I think you stink. And the guy turned and looked at me and couldn't even do anything else but laugh. And we had a hug together and went on with the game. But that was a fun experience. And now there's a new one out. There's a new one out, Jack, is that you go with your cell phone up to the officials and say, did you lose this? Because you just missed five calls. So you know, you try to kid. And, you know, the best officials have fun with you. And I think, you know what I mean, the better coaches aren't intimidated by the officials, and the officials, you know what I mean, the better officials aren't intimidated by the coaches, because it's only a game. Only a game. That's all it is, Jack.
You're very good friends with the Baseball Hall of Famer, Tommy Lasorda, the old Dodger manager.
Yes.
When you two guys get together for pasta and wine, who talks?
Quite honestly, I can't get a word in edgewise, because he's one of my dearest friends also, and a great, great guy, and he's just a wonderful storyteller. And God bless his wife, Jo, who's an outstanding woman to put up with him for all these years. And to me, know, he's a little bit older than me, and I kind of look up to him. And anytime he's in town, Jack, he speaks to my players because he's a terrific motivational speaker. He's great for the game of baseball, and he loves the Dodgers.
Yes.
I got a great story about that, too, by the way.
Go ahead.
I was Tommy Lasorda's bat boy, back 15 years ago. And he said to me, you always wanted to meet, I always wanted to meet Frank Sinatra. And I said to him, Tommy, I said, you got to let me, I'm your bat boy tonight. He said, yeah, there he is. He's up in his stands. And I looked at him. He was in a box by the first base side. And he said, well, he says, maybe we'll meet him tonight. And I was all excited. Then in the seventh inning stretch, Sinatra, God bless his soul, disappears. So I went to Tommy doing the game. I said, what's happening here? He said, don't worry about it. Maybe we'll see him later. After his game ritual, we jump in the car with his wife, Joe, and myself and Tom. And Tommy said, what would you give to meet Frank Sinatra? And I said, what do you mean? He said, would you give him your championship ring? I said, no. He said, would you give me $100? I said, no. We get to this Italian restaurant. It's at 12 o'clock at night. We walk in, and there's Frank and his wife. I, like, was stunned. We talked. We took pictures. We exchanged ideas about how he loved watches. And all of a sudden, after we got done eating, about 2 a.m. L.A. time, I called my brother in Hillside, New Jersey. I called my friends, and I said, it was 5 a.m. in Jersey. I said, what are you doing? They said, what are you doing? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, I just want you guys to know I'm having dinner with Frank.
Three different times in your career, you were really pursued to become a head coach in the NBA. And right. Three times you ended up saying no. You were like the runaway bride, Raleigh. You know Julia Roberts?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been compared to a lot of people, but never Julia Roberts.
Yeah, right.
Why, you know, much more money, fame. Why did you turn them down?
Well, one was, and I wouldn't blame my wife, but she just loved Villanova. And the Nets situation was great. They're wonderful people. I came from, you know what I mean, a family in Jersey, as I told you earlier. And I really wanted that job. And then all of a sudden, for some unforeclosed reasons, I decided to stay. Cause really was because of my players. I have some regrets, obviously, but not as many. I could have been, go with Chuck, I guess. But it's over now. And what I'm enjoying the most is being part of Northwood University. You know what I mean? And starting this program from scratch. And it's been a lot of fun. And, as I said, you have some regrets at times, but that's okay. I have my family and my five kids and 16 wonderful grandchildren, Jack. That's all I need.
Regrets.
And beat Daly once in a while in golf.
Regrets. I've had a few, but
right.
Then too few to really mention. Do I sound like him?
Yeah, you do. For your age.
We're talking to Raleigh Massimino. When we come back, we'll ask him why, after 50 years, he's gone with Northwood University to start up a new basketball program. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Raleigh Massimino. Raleigh, a year ago, you start a new basketball program for Northwood University, West Palm Beach. You're 72 years old. You were the youngest baseball coach at 21. Now you're 72. Why'd you do it?
Because now I'm the oldest basketball coach in the world. Well, because I came and I wasn't sure. I had to get the okay from my wife, Jack, and met some wonderful people here at Northwood. The athletic director was the baseball coach at Stony Brook back in 1969 when I went to Stony Brook, and he is now the athletic director, as I said. And then all of a sudden, you know, he calls and says, come on down and start this program. We went down and met the people that are part of the administration here. And I said, I'll give it a shot and then see what happens, because I was really interested in giving back. I really did. That was my ultimate goal, was to give back and help youngsters. Because I used to go, I had 25 assistant coaches out there that became head coaches. The Pete Gillens, you know, the Tom Brennans, the Jay Wrights. You can go right on through the entire gamut and of my guys. And I just said, I want to still be with the kids on a daily basis. And so I decided to take it and help develop this building, you know what I mean, and with the locker rooms, the floor, the logo, everything that we put into it, and then had to recruit players, and then got to buy uniforms and do everything and create a budget. It was a long, hard task, but it was a fun task. It really was. And then having the opportunity to start a schedule from scratch, and we were very lucky to win 23 games, went to the national tournament, and, you know, it was just a beautiful ride. And then, you know what I mean, which made it even better, I had the opportunity to meet the administration, some of the professors and athletic department members at Northwood, Michigan, and Northwood, Texas. And between the three institutions, the three teams, you know, my goal is anything I do when I get up in the morning is to do something better, to do something right, to do good for something. You know, it might seem hokey, but that's really true. That's what I do when I get up early in the morning. And I try to set my goals and standards as I try to teach the kids so that they can be as good and be the best they can be. And we were very lucky. We had the opportunity to play Florida, the national champions the last 2 years. We played Miami. Villanova came down here to play. Full house. Got wonderful exposure throughout the country. And now I sit in this seat for not very long, but you know what I mean? As long as Northwood continues to grow, and I had the opportunity to meet Keith Freddy, the new president of Northwood University, who was a former athlete himself and a wonderful guy, you know, and now we're just trying to raise money to make this institution as good as it possibly can be.
How did you ever convince top-notch kids to join this brand-new fledgling program?
Well, you know, a little bit was, you know, it was the institution, I have to say that, and kids wanted to play for the old man, I guess. You know what I mean? And we've had a wonderful go. We really did. You know, we still go over my house for pasta. My wife still cooks. She still considers them like their children. You know what I mean? We create that family atmosphere. And you know what? We're going to be good again next year, Jack. We really are. So, you know, it's something, you know, winning. That's what you try to do. You got to instill that. That's you talk about for young people as they grow. That's what we try to do.
You call a timeout before you get with the players. You huddle up with your coaches, Bobby Orr, Chuck Daly, Billy Cunningham. What do they tell you, Raleigh?
They tell me I'm crazy. They said, you're not doing it again. I said, no, don't tell me that. But, you know what I mean? They yell, sure, what do you do all day? I mean, the day goes by as fast as it possibly could be. And I don't play golf anymore. Yesterday afternoon, you know, I played three holes. That's all I did, just fooling around because I wanted to relax. And, you know, I just enjoy being around the guys. I do, and being around the administration here and trying to develop and get students to come to this outstanding university. And, you know, I want it and love to see it become a household name in terms of the business world, of which it certainly could be, and it's well on its way to doing that.
For a listener tonight that's normally enthusiastic but is down right now, I mean, you are Mr. Enthusiasm. It's contagious. What advice would you give to a listener who needs more enthusiasm?
Well, I think that, you know, don't be afraid to fail. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Don't be afraid to fail. because you have to fail many times before you succeed. Next thing is that take a chance. You know what I mean? When I went to UNLV, you know, they had 400 valedictorians. Alan Clayton Powell, all the big Dr. J, many athletes, Oprah Winfrey, all they did was tell the kids. The underlining factor of the whole thing was take a chance. Don't be afraid. You know what I mean? It's just like coming to Northwood. Why should I? I mean, my career is over. You know what I mean? I've been through it all. Whatever we did is what's gone, gone forever. But be the best you can be. Work hard. Don't be afraid to work. And once again, don't be afraid to take a chance. Okay? Because I took a chance with Chuck Daly. I really did. But you know what? It was the best chance I ever took and the best move that I ever made.
How do the best athletes get ready for the biggest events?
Well, again, I think the best athletes, to me, are never satisfied. The best athletes get up for the big one, the Masters, the World Series, the NBA Championships. They play hard. I mean, all the scribes say they play harder during the championship series. You know what I mean? And the ability, once again, to put people away. They killed Dirk Nowitzki. Why? I mean, he played as hard as he could, but you know what? He wasn't the one to put people away in that first playoff, right? So what happens? You know, perception reality once again. You know what I mean? That I think that you have to be confident and have the attitude and create the atmosphere that's necessary to succeed.
What's the key to happiness, Raleigh?
Key to happiness, you know, it's winning again. Satisfaction. You know what I mean? Family. Love. That's key to happiness. It's not money. You know, I did things years ago. I don't sleep very much at night, Jack. I listen to the radio all night long, believe it or not. You know, when I'm in and out. And back about 4 years ago, there was a group of CEOs that tried to decide what it took to be successful in their company. And you know what? It wasn't. It wasn't extra money. It wasn't extra insurance policies. It wasn't days off. You know what it was? Caring and sharing. Caring. Isn't that those two great words, Jack? Caring and sharing.
We've got a half a minute. Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I think I gave them a lot of advice in what we talked about, but be the best. Work hard at what you do. Don't be afraid. Get a mentor. Get a mentor. Get someone that is honest, sincere, and understand what life's all about. And don't be afraid again. You know, I used that word a couple of times. Don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to go in different directions. Al McGuire did that. He didn't care. Al McGuire, the wonderful basketball coach that won a national championship, 15, 20 years ago, has since passed on. But a wonderful guy. You know what I mean? The avenues that you take and the paths that you derive at times open up bigger and better than you've ever known if you're willing to accept what's in front of you.
Coach Raleigh Massimino, what an honor. What a great show. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahoma.